So tonight we're going to kind of have a little guitar accompaniment to our music. We won't be singing any of the liturgy parts. We'll just be speaking those. And so let's turn in our hymnals to hymn number 341, Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates. And we'll sing the first three stanzas of that hymn for our opening hymn. 341. Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates. Behold, the King of glory waits. The King of kings is drawing near. The Savior of the world is here. Life and salvation he doth bring. Wherefore rejoice and gladly sing. To God our Father raise your joyful songs of praise. A righteous helper comes to thee, his chariot is humility, his kingly crown is holiness, his scepter pity in distress. The end of all our woe he brings, wherefore the earth is glad and sings. To Christ our Savior raise your grateful hymns of praise. How blessed the land, the city blessed, where Christ the ruler is confessed. O peaceful hearts and happy homes, to whom this King in triumph comes. The cloudless sun and sea, who comes to set his people free. To God the Spirit raise your happy shouts of praise. We rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. As we begin our worship and come into the presence of God, we consider our lack of holiness and our need for forgiveness. While we confess that God is most important in our lives, we haven't lived up to that commitment in all thoughts, words, and actions. Like the tax collector who went up to the temple to pray, we must say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God's greatest joy is to behold our repentance. God's greatest gift of all is forgiveness. Because of his grace in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God's with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We now confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God,
light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Once he came in blessing, all our sins redressing, came in likeness lowly, Son of God most holy. Bore the cross to save us, hope and freedom gave us. Now he gently leads us, with himself he feeds us, precious food from heaven, pledge of peace here given. Manna that will nourish souls that they may flourish. Soon will come that hour when with mighty power Christ will come in splendor and will judgment render. With the faithful sharing joy beyond comparing. Come then, O Lord Jesus, from our sins release us. Keep our hearts believing that we grace receiving. Ever may confess you till in heaven we bless you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O come, thou key of David, come, and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Amen. Now, we didn't read through it this evening, but the Gospel of Matthew actually begins with 17 verses that are a genealogy, name after name after name. And what is amazing when you look through those lists of names is how many are actually failures. If you look at Judah and Tamar, Rahab, even David, Solomon, Rehoboam, and Ahaz, the king that we heard about ignoring Isaiah in our Old Testament reading. This genealogy that Matthew records for us covers hundreds of years. It glosses over hundreds of family members, plenty of historical periods, different countries. And yet for all of that, all of them are disappointing in one way or another. The genealogy may sound impressive, but you look back at the lives of the actual individuals named, they all disappoint, especially the ones who knew better, the ones who had greater opportunities, and yet didn't follow through on them. And don't get me wrong, some of them did do impressive deeds, but at the end of it, where does it lead? Where do they end up? And so Matthew begins, he lists them off, hundreds of years passing, as the list continues into our ears, Even 17 verses long, it starts to drag. But then things get interesting with what we heard today. And as it gets going, you would think that Matthew has quite the knack for understatement. If you look over to the Gospel of Luke, it takes Luke the better part of two long chapters to cover the birth of Jesus and everything that precedes it. Matthew covers it here in a mere 7 verses. He says, the birth of Jesus happened this way. Oh, really, Matthew? It was that simple, huh? He goes on talking about people, how people are doing. They're going on in business, they're eating and drinking, they're marrying and giving in marriage. And all of a sudden, one of those who had been given in marriage appears to have jumped the gun. And Joseph, not wanting to make a fuss, quietly ponders his exit strategy. And then an angel shows up in his dream. And if you've been reading through the drudgery of 17 verses of genealogy, you think, now we are getting somewhere. This is more like it. Finally, the good stuff about God coming in and setting things straight, showing people who is boss by sending a heavy to lean on Joseph. And the angel tells Joseph, go ahead. You want to take Mary as your wife. The child is from the Holy Spirit, and you are going to name that child Jesus. Quote, for he will save people from their sins, unquote. And that's it. The angel's gone. And after that, Matthew basically sums up the birth story in one verse. Joseph knew Mary not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, not many people think that crossing an angel of God is a good idea, and so Joseph follows through with the angel's suggestions. But is that it? The genealogy reminded us of the greats and what they weren't able to accomplish, and now all we get is another one? Another just in this line, in this genealogy, another baby? How is that going to help? And you might be tempted to think, well, sure, he's a baby now, but you wait. You wait until he grows up. He'll show them. This is only chapter 1. We have 27 more to go. But I know you won't say that because you've heard the other 27, and you know that Jesus, well, he doesn't exactly impress. Certainly not in the end. He dies a failure outside the city of his ancestor David. He has no country. He has no army. He has no progeny. And he disappointed more than a few. And in this way, Matthew's telling of the birth isn't understated. Rather, it is unadorned, with nothing else other than a couple simple promises. And the promise that the angel speaks to Joseph is not a promise of might and power. He's not talking about impressive feats of strength. That angel doesn't even talk about victory over enemies. These all have their places in the scripture, but that is not what this angel says. He says that this child will save people from their sins. He emphasizes to Joseph not what Jesus is going to do to everyone else, but rather what he is going to do to each and every one of you. He is going to save you from your sins, which is another way of saying that he is going to save you from yourself, from your own failures. And the other promise that Matthew digs up is one from Isaiah chapter 7. But the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Miller gave a short 15-second summary of the story that the scriptures basically tell. And it goes something like, God creates the heavens and the earth, all that fills them, and then man rebels. And at this point, obviously, God has a decision to make. But what the scriptures say is not that God abandons his creation, not that he destroys his creation, but rather he recommits to his creation. He is going to save it. He is going to make it great again, to borrow a phrase. About this time of year, we usually kind of try and do the same thing. We start to resolve to do things better next year. We commit to a better future. We want to fix things that aren't as they should be. And so we go ahead and declare it, whether it's losing a couple pounds or being able to run a certain distance, learning a new skill, something along these lines, whatever it is. But you also know that you've done this in years past, and by May or June, you may even have a problem remembering what you resolved to do in the first place. 700 years before Matthew, Isaiah repeats once again God's resolution, his commitment to his creation. And this is why Matthew brings it up. It is one thing to have a plan. It is one thing to have a resolution. It is another thing entirely to actually carry it out. And Matthew sums up very succinctly that this is God's commitment coming true. God commits to being with us, not in some vague, he's everywhere kind of sense. No, God commits to us by putting skin in the game. Literally, Matthew says, he has skin, flesh. He is incarnate. The birth of Jesus happened this way. It may be understated, but that's an iron fist in a velvet glove kind of understatement. God is now into his creation in a way that he never does, he never will go back on. His commitment to mankind is so firm that he becomes a man. And at least one of Matthew's points is that God follows through. And what you see when you look in the scriptures and you see faith, like we see in Joseph, is you see a recognition that God follows through, and you see the proper fear of God because of it. God actually does what he says. That is a reason, that may be the reason to fear him. We often have this idea of God being big, mighty, powerful. And when we think of those terms, we imagine things like large muscles, or maybe fire and lightning, or armies with ranks upon ranks. Matthew chapter 1 says nothing about any of that kind of stuff. Rather, it points to the birth of a baby. A baby that is just another baby in a genealogy of babies. The understatement in Matthew chapter 1 is God's, is not Matthew's. God may have all of that other impressive stuff, but he doesn't need it. Rather, we see in the scriptures that he usually hides his power in weakness, but he does follow through. Fear the one who can do that. That is a basic tenet of the scriptures. And therein lies the difference between Joseph in our New Testament reading and Ahaz in our Old Testament reading. In our reading from Isaiah, we have Ahaz, probably someone we would normally say has a decent grasp on what is wrong with his situation. He has armies of his enemies approaching, and Ahaz needs enforcements that he does not have. And he is shopping elsewhere for. And so Ahaz, in that way, is a man who deals in facts. He can count. He knows he's in trouble. And yet Isaiah comes to put the fear of God into Ahaz. Isaiah says, don't, you see those armies? Do not worry about them. God, he will deal with those armies. In fact, God will destroy them with an even bigger army. God will destroy them with the Assyrians. He says, you, Ahaz, you need to fear God. And when Ahaz dismisses Isaiah and all of his religious jabber, Isaiah answers that, hey, God can bring the Assyrians here to Judah as well. And God follows through, Ahaz. Whereas Ahaz lacks the idea of God as one who can and will push people around. Maybe because Ahaz is approached by a simple man. Joseph does not ignore the angel. The angel impresses Joseph enough that when the angel tells him what to do, Joseph does exactly that 3 verses later. The next time an angel appears to Joseph, it only takes him 1 verse. Joseph fears the Lord. Now, he may think this plan looks ludicrous, but Joseph either knew or imagined that God would follow through. And so Joseph better respect God more than he respects his own reputation. He takes Mary. He names the child Jesus. And so God does his works in ways that look to the world as weak and foolish, even illegitimate. And we see that he conquers chiefly not when he pushes others around, but when he allows himself to be pushed around. He arrives, we find an illegitimate birth. He will go on to die as a criminal. And yet in doing these very things, he is following through. The angel says that Jesus will save his people from their sins. And that is how he does it. He does it by dying their death. And when he is done, he gets up and tells them the good news and then ascends into heaven. All this is to say that Jesus is a continuation of that genealogy in many ways. Again, we have someone who on paper appears to be a failure. But it doesn't really matter what we say about it. Rather, it matters what the Father says about it. And he says in the scriptures that Jesus is the one who pleases him. And he calls those who are in Jesus his people. So for all of the failures in that list of names, Jesus saved them all from all of those sins. That is what the angel tells Joseph. Jesus is going to do this for all of his people, both in the past that we read about and in the future, the ones that weren't yet named when Matthew was writing. And he says that you get in on that too, but only by rather unimpressive things like words, the ones that I'm saying right now, like water, like bread and wine. They may look insignificant, but God follows through. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord God, heavenly Father, you have fulfilled the word you spoke to the prophet with the virgin birth of your only begotten Son. Establish in us the truth that as the Lord Jesus saves us from our sins and as our Lord Emmanuel reunites our lives with you, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Look with mercy on your church, especially those who are persecuted. We pray for the victims of terror in Egypt this past week, that you would fortify them in your truth and love in Christ, the ultimate power for life that stands against the power of sin, which can only destroy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Raise up just leaders who will defend the weak and vulnerable in our land. Keep them from being governed by public opinion or influenced by self-interested parties. Let them be your servants for the sake of true justice and fair government, that we might live productive and peaceful lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You provide for our safety and rescue through men and women who serve as police, firefighters, doctors, nurses, and other healthcare workers. Keep them safe in what can be dangerous and life-threatening work. Help them to carry out their duties with honor and integrity, and help us to rightly support them in their service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Be near to all who suffer in our midst, all of those on our prayer list. And we also pray for Dennis Meyer, who is hospitalized, for Susan Kirkland, niece of Ron and Ann Goldsmith, who has been diagnosed with a brain tumor, for Judy Spelver, who had surgery, John Herndon,
father of Shauna, who is in intensive care, for Rick Bargiel, who's been moved to a nursing home. We also give thanks for the birth of Caleb Kober to Carrie and Aaron, and we pray for the comfort that you bring to the family of Norman Kirsch, uncle of Sheila Scharf, who died. Assure them that you have not abandoned them in their troubles, but you are a God who has drawn near in Christ to be with them always. Grant health and healing to the sick. Give peace and rest to the dying, comfort to the grieving. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, dear Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is good, right, and salutary that we should in all places and in all times give thanks to you, Lord Jesus, who took on our flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary and now comes to us in this bread and wine to strengthen our faith and to deepen our love. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we are evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord Jesus, we give thanks for the new covenant of forgiveness that is given to us in your word and in this meal. Use it to strengthen our faith and to live by faith as we pray in the words you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. O Lord, as you blessed Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, their protector, so also bless us who believe in you, in him, and continue to bring him into this world through our witness. Open the hearts of those who are yet to believe, and lead us together in the way of faith and obedience to your word. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, who with you and the Holy Spirit is one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Our closing hymn will be O Little Town of Bethlehem, hymn number 361.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to all the earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our dear.